This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
At that point, after Allah allows them to speak, then he will shut their mouths. He'll seal their mouths. نختم على أفواههم وتكلمنا أيديهم وتشهد أرجلهم بما كانوا يكسبون. Right? And so their hands are going to bear witness. Their legs are going to bear witness.
يا سائلي عن مذهبي وعقيدتي رزق الهدى من للهداية يسأله اسمع كلام محقق في قوله لا ينثني عنه ولا يتبدل.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, today the 13th of Rajab 1443, corresponding to the 15th of February 2022, we're going to start the 14th lesson of the explanation of Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyya by Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. And we're still dealing with the Shaykh Islam's kalam surrounding the hereafter and those issues related to the hereafter. And we made it to the part where he's talking about Al-Hisab. What have we already covered? What have we already covered? When does the hereafter begin? When a person dies. Okay. And then what happens? What is that period called between the time a person dies and the actual resurrection itself? That's called the barzakh. And what's happening? What does Shaykh al-Islam talk about happens during the barzakh? Hello, Shabbat. Okay, so there's fitnatul qabr, right? The test that happens in the grave. That test consists of how many questions that, according to what we covered so far? Three questions. طيب. After those three questions, imma na'imun wa imma adab, right? There's either a person is going to have a joyous time, bliss in the grave, or there's going to be punishment waliyadu billah. And that punishment could be all the way until the resurrection. It could stop before that, depending on a person's deeds. Tell you. And there's a lot more that can be said about that. I mean, it's very detailed issues related to the barzakh, but that's not the purpose of our particular study. So after that, we covered what? So, Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullah, talks about people rising from their graves. So we covered the resurrection. And you said we covered the mizan. And what is a mizan?
The scale.
The scales. Tayyib. What's being weighed on the scales?
Your good and bad deeds. Your good deeds. Well.
Tayyib.
Al-A'mal.
Huh? Al-A'mal. Al-A'mal. Okay, what else is being weighed? Okay, so your deeds in general are being weighed. What else is being weighed? That's your deeds. Good or bad? Yeah. Good character and bad character is part of your deeds, right? Because that's the good character. Like the Prophet ﷺ said, there's nothing heavier on the scales than good character. Oh, yeah. What else is being weighed? We said that there's three things that are weighed. The scrolls themselves. So we talked about what? Ad-dawaween, wa tatayir as-suhuf, right? That there are scrolls and that those scrolls are laid out. And a person either receives their book in their right hand or in the left hand. Okay. So all of those things are weighed. Oh, so we covered scrolls, we talked about these, and then there was one more thing. The companions, or some of them, they were talking about how skinny Ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, how skinny his legs were. And the Prophet said, what? He said that those skinny legs on the day of Jannah, he said, are y'all surprised at how skinny his legs are? He said, those legs will weigh more than Uhud on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So a person, the person who is doing the deed, every single person also is weighed according to their iman. So the heavier their iman, the heavier they will be on the scale. This is why the Prophet ﷺ said, يُؤْتَى بِالرَّجُلِ السَّمِينِ, and a fat man will be placed on a scale. لَا يَزِنُ شَيْئًا, and it's like he didn't weigh anything because his iman was nothing. So all of that is weighed. After that, then Shaykh al-Islam talks about al-hisab. The reality is that the hisab, who knows what an accountant is called in Arabic? Anybody? Muhasib. All right. In math class, what's that called? Anybody know? Tayyib al-Muhim. When you count things, that's hisab. Hisab is the separation of your deeds and the counting of those deeds. That's the hisab, right? And that's why many of the scholars of Islam say the hisab is actually before the mizan. So Shaykh al-Islam here, even though he's not mentioning these things in order of occurrence, so the hisab is actually before the mizan, because you count first and then those things are weighed. Think about it like this. When you go shopping now, okay, and you pick up a bunch of different fruits, and you put them all in your shopping cart, all right? Can you just throw them all up on a scale when you go to the register? Can you just throw everything up? And if you do that, what's going to happen? The cashier is going to put the bananas here and then take the grapes, and each one they're going to weigh separately. Correct? All right? And then you pay for, but that's the hisab. That's the hisab. So it's taking it, separating it, counting it. And that's when it's put on the scale, after it's separated and counted. So you got this many, bananas, you put that on a scale, and this is what it weighs. Okay? The mizan is weighing, the mizan is one. It's one scale with two pans, right? One for hasanat and the other for sayyiat. طيب, let's talk about hisab, inshallah. Fadal Sheikh. This is directly from the book. So anytime you see something that has a page number under it, looks like this, okay, that's coming straight from your book. That's page 88 in the book. Fadal Sheikh.
Min Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah, fi sabtamani wa thamaneen, al-hisab, the reckoning. Allah will take the creation to account, and he will talk to his believing servant in private, and have him acknowledge his sins as has been described in the book and sunnah. As for the disbelievers, they will not be taken to account in the same manner as those whose good deeds are weighed against the bad, since they have no good deeds. Instead, their deeds will be enumerated. They will be apprised of them, and they will admit to them.
All right, and this is a longer discussion about how the hisab of the disbelievers will take place, being that they don't have any good deeds to speak of in the hereafter. What they've done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or what they've done that was of good that did not need niyyah, right? What they did that was good, that did not need a niyyah for it to be good. Like what?
Anything. Helping your mom out.
Okay, right. Helping your mom out. So it's something good, right? And it doesn't need a niyyah from them to be considered to be good. But it doesn't count towards anything in the hereafter. Only what was done sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while being a mu'min. Tayyib. So here, Allah will take the creation to account. The account of the creation is of two types. And that comes directly from the Quran. Hisaban yasiran, hisaban asiran, right? So the easy account and the difficult account. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, man husiba man nuqish al hisab faqad udhib. Whoever is going to have to debate their hisab, then this person will be punished. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how do we understand that statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that whoever is given the book in their right hand, then this person will be given a hisab and yasira, an easy account. That person is also taken to account. Now, what do you think about that statement? What do you think about that? Okay. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever is yunaqish al-hisab, in other words, that they have to, let's translate like this. Whoever has to debate their hisab, okay, they're being taken to account, then they will be punished. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha then asked the question, well, what about the one who, what about the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَمَّا مَا أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسِبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. Whoever is given a book in the right hand, then that person will only have a light account. They're not going to be punished. Read, Sheikh. Al-Bukhari has recorded.
Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, has recorded in his Sahih, a hadith reported by Aisha, radiallahu anha, that the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, on the day of judgment, whoever is called to account is doomed. She said, Ya Rasulullah, has not Allah said that then whoever is given his record in his right hand, soon will his account be taken by and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, This will be only a presentation of the deeds.
Al-'ard. Innama dhaki al-'ard. Right? He said to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. In other words, the easy reckoning, right, is the presentation of the deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll talk a little bit about more what that means, inshallah. Keep going.
But whomever is questioned in detail on the day of judgment will be punished. That is, if anyone's account is scrutinized, he will be punished, and rightly so. However, Allah may forgive and pardon. We will return to this point later, inshallah ta'ala.
So the point here, honestly, that I want to... And we'll talk about, but the point I wanted to show you here was the Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, her fiqh, right? Because she heard the statement from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, but immediately in her mind, it didn't seem to mesh with the Quran, right? Which the Sahaba did their best to memorize and understand. So she said, wait a minute, what does that mean? If somebody's taken to account that they're doomed, then Allah said this. And so the Prophet ﷺ clarified for her what that actually meant. You remember also, maybe it was the last class or the class before, when the Prophet ﷺ talked about the rising on the Qiyamah and how everybody is going to be gathered, fi ard al-mahshar, and they're all going to be there in the same place. Hufatan, uratan, right? Ghurla. They're going to be barefoot, uncircumcised and naked. Who was the one that asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam something?
Aisha
radiallahu ta'ala. She said, wait a minute. Everybody's going to be there. Men and women all together? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-amr ashaddu min that. It's more severe than that. Nobody's worried about anybody being naked. Not on that day. I'm only saying that to say, we should have confidence that any of the texts of Islam that were not understood by the companions or that they felt may have had something that needed to be explained, they asked the Prophet ﷺ. And that has come to us and has been explained to us.
And therefore, those things that have not been asked them by the companions of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, it shows that they clearly understood it. That they clearly understood those things. And they left them the way they were. Right? That's just a side point. Let's look at what this easy reckoning looks like. Or what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam called al-'ard. Okay? Which is to present, the presentation or display.
Amen. Yeah. So this is the first one. You said there's going to be two, right?
First one of what? Exactly.
Like the reckoning.
Yeah, tell you. This is number one, the easy type. Okay. The easier reckoning, if you will. No.
The easy reckoning, al-'ard. Safwan ibn Muhriz, is that right? Muhriz?
Safwan ibn Muhriz, I believe it is.
Okay, Muhriz.
No.
Reported that a person said to Ibn Umar, radiallahu anhuma, how did you hear Allah's messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as saying something about intimate conversation? He said, I heard him say,
And intimate conversation here is in najwa. Yani, in other words, that this conversation is happening between a person and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, without anyone else yani, being privy to that conversation. Nah.
He said, I heard him say, a believer will be brought to his Lord, the exalted and glorious, on the day of resurrection. And he would place upon him his veil of light and make him confess his faults and said, do you recognize your faults? He would say, my Lord, I do recognize him. He, the Lord, would say, I concealed them for you in the world, and today I forgive them. And he would then be given the book containing the account of his good deeds. And so far as the non-believers and hypocrites are concerned, there would be a general announcement about them before all creation, telling them that these people, that is, non-believers and hypocrites, told a lie about Allah.
Nah. So if we look at the first part, a believer is brought to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah azza wa jal, yani, it says here, yada alayhi kanafa. So there's a veil that is placed there. The explanation is that that veil is between that person and the rest of the creation. So it's something that's private between him and Allah. فَيُقَرِّرُهُ بِذُنُوبِهِ Yani that Allah Azza wa Jal is going to have this person admit to his sins. You did such and such, you did such and such, you did such and such. You recognize that. And the person will say, "Ay Rabbi Arif. I know that these are things that I have done." And Allah Azza wa Jalla will say, "Inni satabtuha alayka fi dunya." Right? These are things that I covered for you. Min as-satir. And Allah Azza wa Jalla's name is As-Satir. Okay? Allah Azza wa Jalla's name is As-Satir. So He covered them in the dunya. Wa ana aghfiru laka, or wa ana aghfiru laka al-yawm. And I forgive you for them today. So just like Allah Azza wa Jalla covered them. And I don't want to go too far into the words, but I do think it's important to understand some of this. By the way, yani, some people they say as-sittir, right? But the correct way, according to the majority of the scholars and the linguists, is that As-Satir is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, similar to his name As-Sami', yani in the same wazan, Al-Fa'il. Right? So As-Satir. So Allah Azza wa Jal, Yastur Abduhu. Ghafara actually means Satara. Right? So a helmet, for example, is called a what? Al-Mighfar. Aywa, Al-Mighfar. Because it covers the head. Right, so there is a reason why قَدْ سَتَلْتُهَا عَلَيْكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا. I covered them up for you in the dunya. I concealed them in the dunya. وَأَنَا أَغْفِرُ And I forgive you for them. Meaning that what? That it is concealed, and the consequences of that sin or those sins are also concealed. They won't happen. Yani, there won't be any consequence to those sins. Right. So this is al-hisab al-yasir, or the easy reckoning And this is what the Prophet ﷺ told Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. He called it al-ard. That is, that it's just a presentation. This is what you did, right? And a person admits to that, and then Allah Azza wa Jal forgives them for that. All right? As for those who have disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the hypocrites, their situation is going to be dealt with in front of everybody, in front of the khala'iq, as there is no veil between them and the creation. Waliyadu billah. So if we look at a quick comparison, right, we have the description of the reckoning as it goes for the believer, which is considered to be the easy reckoning. Then it's done in private. There is an acknowledgement from the believer, right? There's no back and forth. There's no back and forth. Once you get to the point where there's a back and forth, فَقَدْ هَلَكَ يعني, that person is destroyed. And there is no going back and forth with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, subhanAllah, there are different descriptions of how this back and forth might go. So some of it is that they actually are allowed to speak and they lie. Right? So ayah in Surah Al-An'am. انظر كيف كذبوا على أنفسهم. دقيقة. إيش قلت يا شيخ؟ أها. لا لا مو هذا. والله ربنا ما كنا مشركين. Beginning that ayah. Anyway, that part of the ayah, they say والله ربنا ما كنا مشركين. They're gonna say, by Allah, when they ask, they're talking to Allah, and they're saying, oh Allah, wallahi, we were not mushrikeen. We didn't commit shirk. انظر كيف كذبوا على أنفسهم. Look at how they lied about themselves. So Allah Azza wa Jalla will allow them to talk, but their talking is going to be a lie, and then Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to let them know that they're lying. اليوم نختم على أفواههم. At that point, after Allah Azza wa Jalla allows them to speak, then he will shut their mouths. نختم, he'll seal their mouths. نختم على أفواههم. وتكلمنا أيديهم. وتشهد أرجلهم بما كانوا يكسبون. Right? And so their hands are going to bear witness. Their legs are going to bear witness. I did this and that. I touched this and that. I walked to this and that place. Right? So no matter what they think, however slick somebody thinks they are, and they can talk their way out of it, well, problem is you won't be able to talk. Even if you thought you could talk your way out of it. And you're talking to Rabbil Alameen, who knows that which is secret and even more secret than secret. So the believer, ala kulli hal, the believer is going to be done, the reckoning is in private. It is an acknowledgement and not a debate. Allah says you did such and such and such and such. They will admit to that, and then Allah is with your pardons then. Allahu Akbar. Disbelievers and hypocrites have a totally different type of reckoning. And their hisab is asir. It's difficult. It's done in public, number one. There's a whole display. There's an interrogation, not a simple acknowledgement. They have to answer questions. Okay? They will be punished, and as it says here, there are witnesses to all of this. Witnesses to all of this. As it comes in the hadith of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. The last thing that we're going to talk about here, bidnillahi ta'ala, to we move on to the next section, is that even though that's the case, the disbelievers will still praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that part I just find to be amazing. That even though they're going to hell and they're going to be punished, and the munafiqeen, they still are among those who praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because all of the creation praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after he finishes the account and after the judgment is done. And the proof of that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَتَرَى الْمَلَائِكَةَ حَافِينَ مِنْ حَوْلِ الْعَرْشِ يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ وَقُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ وَقِيلَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. فضل شيخ.
And you will see the angels surrounding the throne from all around, glorifying the praises of their Lord. And they will be judged with truth.
And يعني, and they will be judged with truth. Here is referring to the man and jinn. Nah.
And it will be said, all the praises and thanks be to Allah. وَكِيلَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. The it, Lord of all that exists.
Nah. Nah.
Allah tells us how he
this, by the way, this is Tafsir Ibn Kathir. Translation of Tafsir Ibn Kathir for the 75th ayah of Surah Zumar. Zumar is the 39th surah in the Quran. So if you want to go back, you can. This is from the translation itself. Nah.
Allah tells us how he will pass judgment on the people of paradise and hell and put each of them in the place fitting for him and for which he is suited. This is justice from him. And he is never unjust. Never unjust.
Nah, and that point should be highlighted. Jazakallah khairan. Nah.
Then he tells us of his angels who surround his majestic throne, glorifying the praises of their Lord, extolling and magnifying him, and declaring him to be above any shortcomings or injustice whatsoever. For he has passed judgment in the fairest and most just manner.
And the emphasis is on justice. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. Your Lord does not do injustice or wrong anyone. Okay? Now.
He says, وَقُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ. And they will be judged. That is, all of creation. بِالْحَقُّ. With truth. Then he says, وَقِيلَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And it will be said, all the praises and thanks be to Allah, the Lord of all that exists, meaning all of creation, whether animate or inanimate. They will speak words of praise to Allah, the Lord of all that exists, for his wisdom and justice.
All of the creation, shuf, waqila, it will be said. Notice that there is no sayer mentioned. It will be said, the passive form, okay? It will be said, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Okay, meaning that all of the creation, both inanimate and animate, animate, of course, being mankind, being jinn, right? And inanimate, whether rocks, trees, or otherwise, they will all praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbil Alameen, for his hikmah and his adl, and his justice. Tayyib, fadda, these words.
These words are not attributed to any specific speaker, which indicates that the whole of creation will testify to his praise.
Right, so even those who are going to the fire will say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And that's just, Subhanallah. Nas'alullah al-afiyah. Nas'alullah al-afiyah. But this here just shows you the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even those, and يعني subhanallah, the hereafter is its own type of existence that's very different from this world. But this is actually something that some of us can relate to. And if you think about a person who is being tried, they know that they're wrong. They know that they're wrong, but they try every way to get out of the situation, right? And they weren't able to. They tried to talk their way out of it, buy their way out of it, whatever the situation may be, and it just didn't work. And you know what they have to do at the end? Even if they don't say Alhamdulillah, they say, you know, that was it. I got what was coming to me. I got what was coming to me. I deserved it. Even somebody, if you caught them, like they thought they were going to get away with a crime, but you already had the scene set up. You got surveillance cameras everywhere. And then they come and you pull them to the side. Like, let's just say you're the boss. They're the employee. And you say, look, you know, some money went missing and this and that and this and that. They say, it wasn't me. Okay, well, let's talk about it. You go through it. Well, wait, nah. He's got an alibi. They call up his friend. Friend is already in on it and everything. And then you pull out the cameras, 20 different angles of him stealing the money. You know what he say after that? Got me. You got me. Well, وَقِيلَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Nah. I mean, it really is amazing when you think about it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Jannah. Ameen. Nah, Fadha Shaykh. Qatada said.
Qatada said, Allah began His creation with praise, as He said, all praise and thanks be to Allah who created the heavens and the earth.
This is the beginning of Surah Al-An'am. Alhamdulillah, الذي خلق السماوات والأرض وجعل الظلمات والنور. All praise for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created the heavens and earth and made light and darkness, or darkness and light. Now,
yes.
So, and that's at the beginning of creation, right? It's the beginning of the creation of the heavens and earth. Now,
and He ended it with praise, as He says,
وَقُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ وَقِيلَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ.
It will be judged with truth and it will be said all the praises and thanks be to Allah.
Allah Akbar. Na'am, Shaykh.
First deeds. This
is Sheikh Uthaymeen's commentary. You can go back to it. Nah.
A beneficial point, right?
Though that page number is not correct. Okay.
The first of these.
Afwan. The page number is correct. The volume is not. It's volume 2, not volume 1. Okay. Page 227. Nah.
Volume 2, page 227, says the Sheikh. A beneficial point. The first of good deeds for which the slave will be called to account for is the salah. While the first thing to be settled among people are matters concerning blood. This is because the salah, the prayer, is the most virtuous bodily act of worship, while blood is the worst of all rights of man that can be violated.
Mm. A bodily act of worship, yani acts of worship that are that require, you know, physical. So let me just, maybe this will make it make more sense. A lot of times the scholars, they divide the acts of worship into two types. Okay, those that are done, that you do physically, and those that require your wealth. Okay, so zakat, for example, they don't consider that to be a bodily act of worship. يعني من العبادات المالية, they call it. Okay, monetary acts of worship. So zakat and sadaqah and so forth. Type, which one is, and salat, right? Salat is al-ibadat that you do with your body, okay? Tayyib, Hajj?
Both.
Nah. Tayyib. All right, next subject. Next subject after al-Hisab is the hold of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Nah.
The pond. On the great plain of the rising is the Prophet's alayhi salatu wasalam's
pond. What, 1 second. The great plain of the rising. What is that talking about? طيب عرصات القيامة. So عرصات is the terminology that is used to talk about the planes, okay, that exist. Why is it called a plane? Because it's totally flat and there are no markers, right? Nothing to separate one part from another part, okay? And the rising here is القيامة. But this is talking about يعني, on the day of the Qiyamah. Now.
On the great plain of the rising is the Prophet's pond, alayhi salatu wasalam, where the believers will drink. Its water is whiter than milk and sweeter than honey. And its goblets are as numerous as the stars of the heaven.
What's a goblet?
Big time cup.
No.
Its length is 1 month's journey, and its width is 1 month's journey.
Tayyip, so if the length and the width are the same, then it's a circle, right?
A square.
Zakallah khair. I'm just making sure.
whoever drinks from it, even once, will never be thirsty again.
Allah Akbar. Tayyip. Yeah. So we got 10 topics related to the hold, inshallah, that we'll go over. That's what Sheikh al-Islam mentioned about the hold. We're going to go a little bit more in detail. Fadla, Sheikh.
Topics related to the hold. Its existence, number one. Number two, its source. Number three, when will people go to it? Number four, who will drink from it? Five, the description of its water. Six, its vessels. Seven, its virtue. Eight, its size. Nine, al-kawthar. 10. Do other prophets have one?
Number one, Fadha.
The hold exists now.
Okay, so the hold of the Prophet والسلام, is not something that will be created later. It exists today. Now.
Narrated Uqba ibn Amir.
Did I get his name right? Yes, that's correct.
Allah's Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, offered the funeral prayers of the martyrs of Uhud 8 years after their death, as if bidding farewell to the living and the dead. Then he ascended. He went up the pulpit and said, I am your predecessor before you, and I am a witness on you, and your promised place to meet me will be the Hawd, and I am now looking at it from this place of mine.
Naam, qala wa inni anzuru ilayhi min maqami hada. I'm looking at it now. If it didn't exist, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not be able to see it. And Allah azza wa jal allows the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to see from the unseen what he wishes for him to see from the unseen. Though that was not the common occurrence. It's not like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always saw from the unseen. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Jibreel alayhi wa sallam, who was unseen. Right? From the angels was unseen. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw some of the jinn that people did not see and so on and so forth. Now.
I am not afraid that you will worship others besides Allah, but I am afraid that worldly life will tempt you and cause you to compete with each other for it.
No, hell no, no.
That was the last look which I cast upon Allah's Messenger.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, so the Prophet, so Uqba ibn Amir, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he's saying that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he went up on the minbar, he was addressing the people, and it was as if he was giving them a farewell speech. Okay? And so he's saying that this was the last time he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and these were the words that he heard the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam say. Okay? So, he says here that I am going to precede you, and I am a shaheed. Alaykum. Yani not a shaheed as in a martyr, that I'm going to testify. I'm a witness. I'm going to testify on your behalf because they are the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And we will meet, yani our mawid, our appointed time, we're going to meet at the hold, at the pond. Okay? Which is before the sirat, which we'll talk about, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Okay? So he's saying to the companions that we're going to meet at the hold, bi'idhnillah, and I'm looking at my pond right now as we speak. He said, I'm not afraid that you all will worship others besides Allah. Yani, in other words, amongst the companions, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, I'm not concerned, I'm not really scared that you all will go back to worshiping other than Allah or associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as they did prior to Islam, because Quraysh, yani in general, were mushrikun. Okay. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلَكِنِّي أَخْشَى عَلَيْكُمُ الدُّنْيَا أَن تَنَافَسُوهَا. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave this warning several times. Yani if you look at the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, he gave this warning several times that the dunya may open up for you, right? And that you all will compete for the dunya. And when you compete for the dunya, what does that do? It's a distraction. It's a distraction. And look at how the Prophet ﷺ was talking about here earlier in the hadith. When he's talking about the hold, what should that remind somebody of? Yeah. Of the akhirah. Which should be a reminder that this dunya is really not that important. It's important that I'm able to get to meet the Prophet ﷺ at the hold and drink from the pond of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. As opposed to competing for the dunya, we should be competing for the hereafter. You got it, Sheikh? No.
I just wish I was studying with him.
So,
studying. Fadal, no, go ahead.
So that was for the companions?
No.
Or okay, yeah.
Who was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talking to?
Right, but yeah. I'm talking about for us.
No. Even more so. Right. For us even more so. Because let's take it like this. I mentioned this in the seerah class, right? Where Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who was promised Jannah, right? He was promised Jannah. he talked about this whole issue of the when the dunya opens up for you, right? Things are tight and you can be patient with the things being tight. Are you patient with ease? And what does that mean to be patient with ease? So he said, "Tulina ma'a Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bid darra, falam nas fa sabarna." We were tested with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we were tested with what? Difficulty. Fa sabarna. And we were patient with that. We persevered through that. We made it through that, those trials of difficulty. ثُمَّ ابْتُلِينَا بَعْدَهُ بِالسَّرَّاءِ فَلَمْ نَصْبِرْ. But then we were tested with ease and with luxury after the Prophet ﷺ, and we were not patient. We weren't patient. What does that mean, we weren't patient with when things got easy? Yeah.
You used the good for bad.
Well, not necessarily, but that they didn't thank Allah Azza wa Jal the way that he should have been, the way that he should have been thanked, right? So, and they recognize that.
What does that mean? I mean, I'm not trying to go deep, but thank Allah as he should be thanked. Can you elaborate a little bit?
Well, yes. So what that means in general, though we can't say specifically for any one of the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, but in general, a shukr, yani, as Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala mentions, there's thalatha maqamat, or arkan, if you will, of shukr. There's three different elements. The first is recognizing that it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second is speaking about those blessings that you have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and attributing them to Allah. And the third is using them only in a manner that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And so sometimes what may happen is a person is getting more from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Things are becoming easier for that person, but they're not necessarily using those blessings that they have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way to draw closer to Allah. Right? And it doesn't necessarily mean that they're using them to sin. But the more you get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you have an obligation to, the more you have an obligation to worship Him in celebration of, or in gratitude of those blessings. And this is why the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when asked by Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha why he was standing so long until his feet would swell, right? What did he say? His shukr has to be different than the rest of creation. أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be a thankful, you know, a grateful servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? His gratitude is different than the rest of creation.
I was asking about, I'm not afraid that you will worship others.
Yeah.
Is that for the companion, meaning that he's not concerned about them, but what about us?
No.
Okay.
No. That address, I'm not afraid that you will worship others besides Allah, that address was to the companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And we go into the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that shaitan despaired that he would be worshipped fi Jazirat al-Arab. And then later on, well, there's no doubt that there are people who came later, right, in the Arabian Peninsula who worshipped the shaitan or who committed shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's because shaitan does not know the future. So when he looked at the condition of the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu was saying, he says, no way that anybody ever here is ever going to worship, you know, other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now,
when Sheikh Mukhtar started reading, it says, on the great plain of the rising,
yeah,
is the Prophet's pond.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you read in certain translations, I'm looking at it now, that it's in parentheses, but it says, you have been granted Al-Kathar, and then in parentheses it says a pond in paradise, or a river in paradise. So is this different?
La. Okay. There's a big difference between Al-Kawthar and the Hawd, as we're going to cover, inshallah. Okay. We'll get there. It's coming right now. Yalla, Sheikh, fadda.
The source of its water fell down, and reported that Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, there are two spouts, one of gold and the other of silver, bringing water from paradise, pouring into the Hawd. Sahih Muslim, rahimahullah. Abu Dharr reported that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he who drinks from it, the hawl, will never again be thirsty. There will flow in it two spouts from paradise.
Tayyib. So okay. So the pond of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam is sourced from where? From Jannah. Sourced from Jannah. By way of what? Two spouts. Okay. And the river in Jannah is called what? Al-Kawthar. Okay. The river in Jannah is called Al-Kawthar. And that's what feeds the hawd of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Come to him? All right. And that's why some people may refer to the pond as Al-Kawthar, because the source of the water of the pond is Al-Kawthar, but the hawd is different. No. Kawthar is an actual river which runs. That water runs. A pond does not have running water. No. Fadal, Shaykh.
Three. When will people go to the hawd? Asma radiallahu anha, daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu anha, said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will be at the hawd, seeing those who coming toward me from you. But some people will be prevented before reaching me. I will say, my Lord, they are my followers and belong to my ummah. It will be said to me, do you know what they did after you? Wallahi, they turned back upon their heels.
That's Allah and Afi.
He, the narrator said, Ibn Abi Mulayka used to say, Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min narji'a ala aqabina aw an
nuftana
an dinina. Jumped on that right away. You knew how it was. Oh Allah, we seek refuge with you from turning back upon our heels or being tested in our religion. Sahih Muslim, rahimahullah.
Yani being tested to the point, and nuftana, and deenina, yani being tested to the point that we doubt our deen. All right? Allahumma inna na'udhu bika an narji'a ala aqabina aw an nuftana an deenina. So, The bottom line here is, it says here, the Prophet ﷺ says, I will be at the hold, seeing those who come toward me from you, but some people will be prevented before reaching me. Huh. So, Al-Qurtubi, rahmatullah alayhi, and others from the ulama said, this hadith is very clear that this is before the sirat. And the evidence for that, as we'll cover when we cover the sirat, inshallah, everyone who crosses the sirat enters Jannah. Everybody who crosses the sirat enters Jannah. So what's understood is that this has to be before the sirat, the hold of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, because some people will be pushed away. Some people will be pushed away from the hold of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And there's several other ahadith that make it clear, right, that some of those people will be from the people of the hellfire. Therefore, the hold has to be before the sirat, based on this understanding, inshallah. Though I do want to mention here, he will say, my Lord, yani there's somewhere it says, ummati, ummati, they're from my ummah. And it will say, la tadri ma ahdathu ba'dak. You do not know what, not what they did, but what they invented after you. Which is a clear indication. Even though the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I mean, there's a lot of dalil for this. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would say in all of his khutbat al-hajah, right? To beware of bid'ah. Beware of religious innovations. Right? وكل محدثة بدعة كل بدعة ضلالة كل ضلالة في النار لا تدري ما أحدث بعدك. What is it that prevented them from drinking from the hold of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام? بدعة. طيب. When you think about بدعة or religious innovation, the opposite of it is what?
Sunnah.
Right. It's ittiba', it's following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you want to drink from his hold, then you need to follow his way, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And for those who follow a different way, invent something in the religion that diverts from his sunnah, then they will be also diverted from his hold, alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, Father.
Who will drink from the hold? Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, reported that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, said, "You are my companions and our brothers." Oh, this beautiful hadith, you can say it all. You are my companions. Our brothers are those who have so far not come into the world. They said, "Messenger of Allah, how would you recognize those persons of your ummah who have not yet been born?" He said, "They will come with white faces, arms, and feet because of wudu."
Allahu Akbar, look at that. They will come, ghurra muhajjalin, right? White faces, bright. There will be brightness on their faces, their arms, and their feet because of what? Because of wudu. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Yani, subhanAllah. How many times yani, a person makes wudu and just does not think about that? You know, keeping these things in mind, studying this over and over again until it sticks. So when you make wudu, you're actually thinking about, I want this to be bright so that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam recognizes me so that I can drink from his hold. And he is salatu wasalam.
And I will arrive at the hold before them. Some people will be driven away from my hold as the stray camel is driven away. I will call out, "Hayya, come, come." But it will be said to me, "These people changed themselves after you." And I would say, "Get away. Get away."
Suhqan suhqa. For you call innahum qad baddalu ba'dak. And they change things. Not necessarily change themselves, but they change the deen after you. And I would say, then suhqan suhqa. Which is an indication that the Prophet did not know that this is what these people had done. And he doesn't know the future other than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed him of. He doesn't know from the unseen other than that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed him of. Now.
So just by looking at these people who's going to be driven away, you won't be able to tell the difference between them and those people who actually follow the sunnah.
Not necessarily. I mean, but this is the hereafter, right? So there's certain things that there's no way to rationalize it totally, right? Even some of the things that as you'll see, what we cover, inshallah ta'ala, if you think about the sirat being adaqqu min as-sayf, right, or adaqqu min as-sha'r, or haddu min as-sayf, right? The sirat is thinner than a hair. And then you say, well, how can somebody walk on it? Because that's just not possible. What's the hereafter? It's not the dunya. So even here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Yani the fact, but here's the other thing. Yani, is there anything that stops somebody from who has invented something in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from making wudu? So maybe they look like the rest of the believers and not necessarily kufar. Khairan. Tayyib. Just so that we know what that looks like, when we talk about the white. See the horse here, how it has the white part on it in the front, and then well, it doesn't show it totally because of the way the screen is. But now also at the feet, right? So this is ghurran muhajjalin, okay? So that's the whiteness that comes here and on the extremities of the limbs. Jayyid.
5, the description of its water. Narrated Abdullah ibn Amr, radiallahu anhu. The Prophet ﷺ said, "My hawd is the distance of a month's journey. Its water is whiter than milk, its smell is better than musk, and its cups are as the stars in the sky."
It's cups, huh? Not goblets this time. Hey. Its water is whiter than milk, and its smell is better than musk. So this is one of the two descriptions of the water. Now,
Thalban, radiallahu anhu, reported that Allah's messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, was asked about the water of the Hawd, and he replied, it is whiter than milk and sweeter than honey. Sahih Muslim.
Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, notice that so far, everything that we've talked about the Hawd, have you seen an ayah or everything is hadith? Huh? Here, we'll go back. Hadith, 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 hadith. Okay. That's because there's no explicit mention of the Hawd in the Quran. However, as Hafidh ibn Hajar, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentioned in Al-Fath, I was just thinking about it now, as I saw Bukhari and Muslim. He says that the ahadith that talk about the Hawd have been narrated on more than 50 of the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He said that there was some of his contemporaries who have taken that number to 80. I mean, over 80 of the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But he mentions 50 of them, rahimahullahu ta'ala. I mean, in other words, that there is no doubt about the authenticity of this Hawd of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in its existence. Now, so, its description, what does it look like, or what's its color? Huh? It is white. What does it smell like? Better than musk. What does it taste like? Sweeter than honey. Subhanallah. Now.
6, its vessels. Narrated Abdullah ibn Amr, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam.
Notice, this is the same hadith that just preceded, but we're focusing on the goblets now.
Wow. My Hawd is the distance of a month's journey. Its water is whiter than milk. Its smell is better than musk. And its cups are as the stars in the skies.
Now, Fadl Sheikh.
7, the virtue of drinking from it.
Just read the bold part. Because okay. It's the same hadith. Uh-huh.
Whoever drinks from it will never be thirsty again.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Tell you, do people drink in Jannah? For what purpose?
Enjoyment
only, because there's no more thirst at that point. So they've drinking from the Hawd of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. People in the dunya, they drink a lot of times for both purposes, right? But just because they want to enjoy, and a lot of times because they're very thirsty, right? But that is not the drinking that will happen in the hereafter, because after a person drinks from the Hawd of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, they will never be thirsty again. Nah.
8, its size. Narrated Abdullah ibn Amr, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam.
And to the point that I don't like to get into these finer details, because the study of the hereafter is very deep and it really does require its own study. And one of the most intricate books, so a Tadhkira by Al-Qurtubi is probably the longest book, but it gets very detailed at places. You need to go through that with the scholar or, you know, a strong student of knowledge that can differentiate between narrations. Ar-Ruh by Ibn al-Qayyim, rahmatullah alayhi, is simply amazing. And it will take some time to get through because it's several hundred pages. The tahqiq is over 600 or 700 pages. And it's not something that you want to rush through. I'm just putting it out there because at some point, inshallah, I don't think on this particular setting, because it's not one of those books you study. It will take, you know, 50, 60 lessons to get through. But it's an amazing book. And the study of the hereafter, in my humble opinion, is something that should never leave a believer. Meaning that there should apportion a time in the month. And if you're not doing it like on a weekly basis, apportion a time in a month where you go over some of the mabahith, you know, that are related to the hereafter. And remind yourself, because that is the ultimate abode of every human being. Not every believer, but every human being. And being constantly reminded of that is important. As you go through the Quran, when you read commentary and when you read, and that's the other benefit of tafsir, subhanAllah, and like Sheikh Hanif is doing a tafsir of Juz Amma, right now, and Juz Amma, the major theme of Juz Amma is the hereafter. Yeah. So that constant reminder is absolutely important because it puts everything in perspective. Puts everything in perspective. Subhanallah. Naam, Sheikh.
My home is the distance of a month's journey, and its sides are equal.
Allah Akbar. How much time we spend on the dunya, even though you're only going to be here for a very, very short period of time, compared to the hereafter, does that make more sense, like, to know in detail what's going to happen in the barzakh, what's going to happen on Yawm al-Qiyamah, what Jannah is like, what the fire is like, so that you begin to prepare? Because the more you have details of that, the more likely you are to prepare for that day. As opposed to it being an abstract concept, right? Where it's just like, yeah, you know, I know I have to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but that's not really at the forefront of your mind. You don't really understand the details. Tayyib, that's the size, without going into a lot of detail on that. Fadl Sheikh.
9, the source is Al-Kawthar. Anas, radiallahu anhu, reported that the Prophet wasalam, said, "Do you know what Al-Kawthar is?" We said, "Allah and His Messenger know best." The Prophet wasalam, said, "It is a river which my Lord, the Exalted and Glorious, has promised me, and there is an abundance of good in it."
All right, so that's the Kawthar is Nahrun wa'adanihi Rabbi. All right, it is a river, and there's a big difference between a river and a hold. Naam.
Do other prophets have a hold?
Naam. Let me just say very quickly, the scholars differ about whether other prophets have a hold. Okay? And their differing is based on whether they believe this hadith is authentic or not. And the correct opinion, wallahu ta'ala a'lam, is that this hadith is not authentic. Naam.
Samura
radiallahu
anhu narrated that Allah's Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Indeed, each prophet has a hawl."
So Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala, the correct opinion is that Al-Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi narrates this on the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam without Samura being in the chain, and therefore the hadith is mursal. And the mursal is from the category of da'if. This is why Tirmidhi rahmatullah alayhi said, hadithun gharib, yani, munfarid. It's only narrated from this chain, if you will, and that Al-Hasan does not actually narrate this hadith on Samura. That's a story for a different day. Yani, what we do know is that our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam definitely has a hold, and we ask Allah azza wa jalla to make us from amongst those who drink from the hold of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And we're going to stop here for the adhan and salat, inshallah, and then after the salat we'll finish the mabahith that are muta'alliqa bil akhirah, all of the issues related to hereafter, which is the sirat and ash-shafa'a. Sirat al-qantara and al-shafa'ah. Those are the three that are left, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, and we'll cover those after the salah, bi-idhnillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.